This week, because I'm away on holiday, I am reading and discussing an article from The Economist from a few weeks ago called How to Worry Wisely About Artificial Intelligence. This is AI for Everyone, a weekly roundup of the most interesting stories in AI and tech for non-tech people who like to keep themselves informed and educated about the latest developments from around the world. I'm Miles Dillon, and I believe that AI is going to have a positive impact on our lives, but those people who continually learn and adapt to the changes it brings will be the ones who benefit the most. Let's get into it for this week. Hey everyone, like I said, I'm away on holiday. I'm sitting in a stunning place in Cornwall, right on the edge of a river, Foy. It is absolutely beautiful. I'm having a lovely time. And I haven't done my normal podcast this week, so I'm actually going to be reading and discussing an article from The Economist called How to Worry Wisely About Artificial Intelligence. And maybe I'll do a little discussion at the end. But it's super interesting, very thought-provoking, and maybe it's good for me to sort of mix it up a bit and not just be always giving my own thoughts. So this is the article. Should we automate away all the jobs, including the fulfilling ones? Should we develop non-human minds that might eventually outnumber, outsmart, and replace us? Should we risk loss of control of our civilization? These questions were asked last month in an open letter from the Future of Life Institute, an NGO. It called for a six-month pause in the creation of the most advanced forms of artificial intelligence, AI, and was signed by tech luminaries, including Elon Musk. It is the most prominent example of yet how rapid progress in AI has sparked anxiety about the potential dangers of the technology. In particular, a new large language model, the sort that powers ChatGPT, a chatbot made by OpenAI, a startup, have surprised even their creators with their unexpected talents as they've been scaled up. Such emergent abilities include everything from solving logic puzzles and writing computer code to identifying films from plot summaries written in emoji. These models stand to transform humans' relationship with computers, knowledge, and even with themselves. Proponents of AI argue for its potential to solve big problems by developing new drugs, designing new materials to help fight climate change, or untangling the complexities of fusion power. To others, the fact that AI's capabilities are already outrunning their creators' understanding of risks bring into life the science fiction disaster scenario of the machine that outsmarts its inventor, often with fatal consequences. This bubbling mixture of excitement and fear makes it hard to weigh the opportunities and risks, but lessons can be learned from other industries and from past technological shifts. So, what has changed to make AI so much more capable? How scared should you be? And what should governments do? In the special science section, we explore the workings of LLMs and their future direction. The first wave of modern AI systems, which emerged a decade ago, relied on carefully labeled training data. Once exposed to a sufficient number of labeled examples, they could learn to do things like recognize images or transcribe speech. Today's systems do not require pre-labeling, and as a result can be trained using much larger datasets taken from online sources. LLMs can, in effect, be trained on the entire internet, which explains their capabilities, good and bad. Those capabilities became apparent to a wider public when ChatGPT was released. 1 million people had used it within a week, 100 million within 2 months. It was soon being used to generate school essays and wedding speeches. ChatGPT's popularity and Microsoft moves to incorporate it into Bing, its search engine, prompted rival firms to release chatbots too. Some of these produced strange results. Bing Chat suggested to a journalist that he should leave his wife. ChatGPT has been accused of defamation by a law professor. LLMs produce answers that have a patina of truth, but often contain factual errors or outright fabrications. Even so, Microsoft, Google, and other tech firms have begun to incorporate LLMs into their products to help users create documents and perform other tasks. The recent acceleration in both the power and visibility of AI systems and growing awareness of their abilities and defects have raised fears that the technology is now advancing so quickly that it cannot be safely controlled, hence the call for a pause and growing concern that AI could threaten not just jobs, factual accuracy and reputations, but the existence of humanity itself. The fear that machines will steal jobs is centuries old, but so far new technology has created new jobs to replace the ones that is destroyed. Machines tend to be able to perform some tasks, not others, increasing demand for people who can do the jobs machines cannot. Could this time be different? A sudden dislocation in job markets cannot be ruled out, even if so far there is no sign of one. Previous technology has tended to replace unskilled tasks, but LLMs can perform some white-collar tasks, such as summarizing documents and writing code. The degree of existential risk posed by AI has been hotly debated. Experts are divided. In a survey of AI researchers carried out in 2022, 48% thought there was at least a 10% chance that AI's impact would be extremely bad, e.g. human extinction, but 25% the risk was 0%. The median researcher put the risk at 5%. The nightmare is that an advanced AI causes harm on a massive scale by making poisons or viruses or persuading humans to commit terrorist acts. It need not have evil intent. Researchers worry that future AIs may have goals that do not align with those of their human creators. Such scenarios should not be dismissed, but all involve a huge amount of guesswork and a leap from today's technology. And many imagine the future AIs will have unfettered access to energy, money, and computing power, which are real constraints today, and could be denied to a rogue AI in the future. Moreover, experts tend to overstate the risks in their area compared with other forecasters, and Mr. Musk, who is launching his own AI startup, has an interest in his rival's downing tools. Imposing heavy regulation, or indeed a pause today, seems an overreaction. A pause would also be unenforceable. Regulation is needed, but for more mundane reasons than saving humanity. Existing AI systems raise real concerns about bias, privacy, and intellectual property rights. As the technology advances, other problems could become apparent. The key is to balance the promise of AI with an assessment of the risks and to be ready to adapt. So far, governments are taking three different approaches. At one end of the spectrum is Britain, which has proposed a light-touch approach with no new rules or regulatory bodies, but applies existing regulations to AI systems. Aim is to boost investment and turn Britain into an AI superpower. America has taken a similar approach, though the Biden administration is now seeking public views on what a rulebook might look like. The EU has taken a tougher line. Its proposed law categorizes different uses of AI by the degree of risk and requires increasingly stringent monitoring and disclosure as the degree of risk rises from, say, music recommendation to self-driving cars. Some users of AI are banned altogether, such as subliminal advertising and remote biometrics. Firms that break the rules will be fined. For some critics, these regulations are too stifling. But others say an even sterner approach is needed. Governments should treat AI like medicines, with a dedicated regulator, strict testing and pre-approval before public release. China is doing some of this, requiring firms to register AI products and undergo a security review before release. But safety may be less of a motive than politics. A key requirement is that AI's output reflects the core values of socialism. What to do? The light touch approach is unlikely to be enough. If AI is as important a technology as cars, planes, and medicines, and there is good reason to believe that it is, then, like them, it will need new rules. Accordingly, the EU's model is closest to the mark, though its classification system is overwrought and a principles-based approach will be more flexible. Compelling disclosure about how systems are trained, how they operate, and how they are monitored and require inspections would be comparable to similar rules in other industries. This could allow for tighter regulation over time if needed. A dedicated regulator may then seem appropriate. So too may intergovernmental treaties, similar to those that govern nuclear weapons, should plausible evidence emerge of existential risk. To monitor that risk, governments could form a body modelled on CERN, a particle physics laboratory, that could also study AI safety and ethics, areas where companies lack incentives to invest as much as society might wish. This powerful technology poses new risks, but also offers extraordinary opportunities. Balancing the two means treading carefully. A measured approach today can provide the foundations on which further rules can be added in future, but the time to start building those foundations is now. Hey everyone, back to Miles here. Thank you so much to The Economist for that article. I think probably the reason I've chosen that is that a lot of the time I read a lot of BS in the mainstream media about artificial intelligence. It's become real clickbait. And if you listen to the podcast last week, you'll hear about some of those companies that have been fined just for saying they use artificial intelligence when they don't actually use it. I feel like a lot of the newspapers and a lot of the online editorials, there's a lot of just like AI scaremongering and just to get people to read articles about it. And yeah, it's very rare that I read a really good article in the mainstream media. And I think this is really interesting and really thought-provoking and saying a lot of interesting stuff, which this article, I think, does. It's not saying let's not regulate AI. It's not saying let's let it run free. And it's not saying let's clamp down on it really hard. Something in between. I agree, if it is going to be a new technology that is as powerful as cars, when cars became a new technology, or electricity, when electricity became a new technology, or aeroplanes, when that became a new thing, all those things are highly regulated. A lot of drugs, highly regulated. I do think that it is something that should be regulated in a way that allows innovation, but also doesn't let these people run away with, like, you know, imagine the drugs industry, if they could just make up whatever drugs they want and release into the market without really knowing the impacts they would have on people that are taking those drugs, it would be out of control. Well, I imagine it was probably like that back in the day. Doctors just, well, people just made drugs and just released them. And that's why it became more regulated, because people are being harmed by it. And I think artificial intelligence probably is in a similar category, but you don't want to sort of hamper that innovation. You know, if we just shut down the pharmaceutical industry back in the day, all the drugs that have come out that really help people wouldn't be there. So I broadly agree with this. Let me know what you think. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you're having a great Easter break, or you've had a good bit of time off over then. I will catch you next week back for my regular sort of three-story roundup of everything that's been going on AI next week. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I will catch you in a bit. Have a great break over Easter. Bye-bye.